The first three chapters of the book of Genesis give us the foundational truths upon which the rest of the Bible builds. And we're going to begin now to go through the Bible, beginning here with the first three chapters of Genesis, and to look at the major themes and events which occurred within the Bible, so as to gain an overview of it and to gain an understanding of the Bible as a whole. I'd like for you then to take your Bible and to turn to the book of Genesis, beginning in chapter 1, to the first chapter within the book of your Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, we have the record of the creation of the heavens and the earth. And this account is an account of a creation which took place according to the divine plan of a sovereign and all-wise and loving God. It was not something which occurred arbitrarily or happened by chance. Instead, this account shows a God of love who is acting according to his sovereign will and bringing forth a creation which has a proper order, design, purpose, and relationship to that creator, God. In Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The Bible here assumes that God existed before the creation of the heavens and the earth. And this is true because God is eternal. That is, God is a God who was without beginning and without end. And therefore, this God, acting according to his sovereign will, brought forth out of nothing the heavens and the earth. God then is a God who is sovereign. That simply means that he acts freely according to his will and desire. And not only is he sovereign, but the Bible also says that God is a God who is all-wise and all-loving. Therefore, here within chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Genesis, we have the account of a God who is acting to bring about his purposes, his will, and his desire. This is in contrast to the many creation accounts which existed in antiquity, in the ancient world. The children of Israel who first received this account as given here in the book of Genesis were surrounded by nations who worshipped many gods, gods who were represented by objects both inanimate and animate, that is, objects of the world, that is, things such as rivers, as trees, as celestial beings, for instance, the stars, the moon. All kinds of different things were worshipped by the nations which surrounded this nation of Israel. And therefore, God presented to them, by way of his written word, as recorded here in Genesis, an account which would help them to understand the God whom they knew to be the one and only true God, and to help them to understand creation and its proper order and relationship to that Creator. Here then, in Genesis chapter 1, we see this God, an all-loving and all-sovereign God, who is acting to bring into existence that which had never existed before. In the beginning then, in verse 1, we read that God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The image that is presented here is a God who is ready to bring order into this created world, into this created heavens and earth, to bring order into it. And then we see a God who acts according to his divine purpose and will. And beginning in verse 3, we see the bringing order into this creation. "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Throughout Genesis chapter 1, this is the pattern which occurs. God, acting according to his will and his plan, states for something to come into existence. And by means of his word, his spoken word, that which God desires comes into existence. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It is not something which occurred by chance. It is not something which simply happened or evolved. Instead, God acted. God brought into existence light by way of his word. Verse 4. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. The terms evening and morning here are a Hebrew idiom. They simply mean the beginning or the ending of a period of time, a complete period of time. And this creation record, which we have here, shows that God brought into existence and set in order the heavens and the earth in a period of 6 days. These days are either a literal 24-hour period of time, or they could, in fact, be simply periods of time or stages of creation. There is no way for us to know. But what we do know is that God is presenting to the children of Israel here a creation account in which God acts, and God acts freely to bring about a creation which has a design, which has an order, and which has a purpose. That purpose being to glorify God and to carry out His will and His divine purposes. Verse 6, and God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. Once again, God said, by way of His word, He brought into existence this expanse, which separated the waters which were under it from the waters above it. Verse 8. And God called the expanse sky, or heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Everywhere that we read here, when God brings something into existence or brings order into His creation, we see that God looks upon it and He sees that it is good. The creation of the heavens and the earth and all the order which God brought into it was good. It was perfect. It was the way which God desired for it to occur and to be. Therefore, we know that the original heavens and the earth which God brought into existence and the order which He had within that creation was good. It was something which God desired, and it came to pass according to His will. Verse 11. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation. Here we have the creation or the bringing forth of life, this being plant life, the first time that it is recorded within the Bible. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. Here we see God bringing forth life, plant life, the vegetation which was upon the earth. And this vegetation came forth with seed within itself. That is, an apple existed. And this apple had the seed of that apple within itself. Thus, that apple was able to reproduce itself and produce other apples, and then to produce other apple trees. This occurred then down through the ages because each vegetation produced fruit according to its kind. Apples produced apples, pears produced pears, other kinds of plants produced other kinds of plants according to their kind. This was God's original design so that the vegetation could produce and reproduce according to its kind. Verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. Here we see God bringing into existence the celestial beings. That is the stars, the sun, and the moon. And he specifically states what their purpose was. First of all, we see that God created them. In contrast to the pagan religions of that time who worshiped these objects as being gods, God clearly shows that he was the creator of those celestial beings, and that these celestial stars and moon and sun had a purpose within God's created order. That purpose being to separate the day from the night, to give light upon the earth, to separate the seasons, the days, and the years. All of these things to help and to bring about God's purpose within the created order. Verse 20, and God said, let the water teem with living creatures. Here then we have the bringing into existence animal life, the first time which this occurred. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth, across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. Once again, God created the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. And these fish in the sea and these birds of the air were able to reproduce according to their kind. A fish brought forth another fish, and then they propagated themselves down through the ages. The same with the birds of the air. A bird brought forth another bird. It was after its kind, and thus these birds were able to reproduce and propagate themselves down through the ages. Verse 22. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. God set this design in motion. He set his creation in motion. He put order within it and enabled all of the creatures of the sea and the birds of the air to be able to reproduce and thus increase upon the waters and within the air. Verse 24, and God said, let the land produce living creatures. Here we're going to see the creation or the bringing into existence of the animal life. That is the animals who walk upon the earth. According to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. Once again, the animals which filled the earth were according to their kind. A lion reproduced another lion, a tiger, a tiger, a wolf, a dog, a dog. And that's the way that they were able to propagate and to fill the earth. And it was so. Verse 25. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Here we have in the sixth day of God's creation, after God has created the heavens and the earth, the plant life, the animal life, God says, now let's make man. Let's create man in his own image. To bring forth a man who would reflect the glory of God and who would rule the earth in the image of God, who would have dominion over the earth. to rule over the plant life, to rule over the animal life, to be God's caretaker upon the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Therefore, God brought forth man. He created man in his image to have dominion over the earth, to reflect God's glory, and to walk in fellowship with that God. Verse 28. God blessed them, that is, God blessed man, both male and female, and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. This was the final great achievement of God's creation. It was the bringing into existence man, the one who was to rule in God's image, to have dominion over the earth. And this man then was to live in fellowship with God, to reflect God's glory in all which he did, to be in God's image, and then to rule over all of God's creation upon earth. Verse 29. Then God said, I give you every seed bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit within it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God not only made the heavens and the earth, he not only made the animals and man, but he also gave them that which was needed within life to sustain them and to be able to enable that plant life, animal life, and man to continue to exist and to live within God's creation. Verse 31. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. After looking upon all his creation, all of that which God had brought about, of the order, his design, his will, that he had brought to pass within the heavens and the earth, God looked upon it all, and he said, it is very good. This was God's pronouncement upon his creation, which had taken place within that period of 6 days. Verse 1 of chapter 2. Thus, the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So in the seventh day, he rested from all his work. That means that God ceased from all his work on the seventh day. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Here we have the record of the creation of the heavens and the earth, the record which God gave to the children of Israel, which contrasted the pagan religions of that time with the creation of the one true God of all that he desired to bring into existence. We see here the proper order and relationship of God the Creator and his creation, and all that is within that creation. We see here that God, according to his sovereign will, brought to pass, brought into existence, a created order made up of both animate and inanimate things, a created order where each thing had its own purpose in conjunction with every other created thing within that order. And yet each and every created thing was in subjugation to the Creator, God. In chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, then, we have the beginning of the main theme of the Bible, and that is God's dealing with man. The Bible was written for man, and therefore, beginning in verse 4, we have God's beginning to deal with man, to his relationship with man and man's relationship with God. And we see here how God formed, made, and created man. In other words, we go back and we fill in some of the details of the first 6 days of creation. We go back and see some of the things which took place during those days. Because there is nowhere within these this Genesis chapter 1 that ever says that this is all of the details which occurred within this time. In other words, what we have here simply is a record, a picture of the creation of the heavens and the earth. But as we read at other places within the Bible, there was a lot of other detail which took place during this period of time. And in Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, we have one of those additional accounts which fill in some of the details of Genesis chapter 1. Beginning in verse 4, we read, "This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground." Here we see God forming man from the dust of the ground. And then it says, "He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." This is the first time where we have here showing God bringing into existence man. We see here the details which occurred, that God formed man's body of the dust of the ground, and then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God gave man something which gave him life, something which enabled man to live, to become a living being. And what that was is soul. The Hebrew word for living being here is nephesh chai, that is living soul. The soul of man is that which gives man life. The soul of man is that which enables man to live within this life. And whenever the Bible speaks of a living soul, it is simply speaking of a person who is alive. Not only do men have soul, but animals have soul as well. Earlier, we read about the living creatures. Those living creatures are also nephesh chai. That is, they are a living soul. The same thing which gives life to man is that which gives life to animals. And whenever the Bible speaks of a man or an animal as dying, what occurs is that soul, that which gives man life, is no longer existing within that person. That person breathes his last breath, and there is no longer life within that person. This is a great truth which we need to understand. And the Bible states specifically that soul is simply that which gives life to man or life to animals. And it was put within man, and it was put within animals originally by God to make man and animals living beings. That is, people or animals which could live within this created order which God had set up. Verse 8. "Now, the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden also were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." So God made a garden, and he put man within that garden. And within this garden were all kinds of trees which were pleasant to the eye and which were good for food. And there was also within this garden a tree which was called the tree of knowledge of good and evil, as well as a tree called the tree of life. Verses 10 through 14 then tell about the rivers which watered that area and went on down through that area, which we today is called Mesopotamia. Beginning in verse 15, we pick up the story. "The Lord God then took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it." Here we see the purpose of man within that garden. Remember that God had created man and woman to be the rulers of the earth. And here, when he's given the details of what actually occurred, we see that God placed man within that garden to work and to take care of that garden. Verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. In other words, God made for man all of the trees within that garden. And man was free to eat from any of those trees. He had great abundance there provided for him by God. There was only one restriction, and that was he was not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Thus, right at the beginning, God endowed man with freedom of will. Man was able to either obey or to disobey God. He was able to live according to God's will in perfect fellowship with him and to partake of all of that abundance which God had provided for him. Or he was able as well to choose to be disobedient to God and to eat from that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." See here the care that God had for that man whom he had put in that garden. God knowing in his infinite wisdom that this was not enough, that God needed that man needed a companion, someone who would help his life to be fulfilled. Verse 19. Now, the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man named or called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. We see here that God brought all these animals, all of the creatures of the earth before man, and man named them. He gave them names. Verse 20 then says, the man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds of the air, to the beasts of the field, but for Adam, no suitable helper was found. For this man who was named Adam in that Garden of Eden, there was no suitable helper amongst those animals. Verse 21. So, the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs. Literally it reads, he took one of the man's sides, or simply a part of his side, and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. God took a side of the man, a part of the side of the man, and from that he made this woman. And then he brought this woman and brought her to man. Verse 23. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." Here then, in chapter 1, we've had the account of the creation of the heavens and the earth. In those 6 days, or in those 6 periods of time, this account which God presents to the children of Israel, where we see the created order brought into existence, where we see the purpose of creation. Then within chapter 2, we have the details of God bringing into focus his relationship with man and how he made man of the dust of the ground and how he breathed into man that breath of life, making him a living being or a living soul. And then how God formed woman of the side of man, so that man and woman together could live within that garden in perfect harmony together, in companionship with each other, and in fellowship with God, and in a state in which they had all that they needed and were able to live for God.